What is one of the most important recovery tools?
Welcome to the Therapy Brothers podcast.
I'm Brandon.
I'm Tyler.
We're brothers.
We're therapists.
And we know recovery.
Bring your stories, your questions, your successes with real recovery.
Hey, Tyler, you ready to have some hard conversations?
Let's do it.
Let the Therapy Brothers podcast begin.
Brandon, good to see you, man.
Hey, you too.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing great. Can't wait to get into our topic today. It's one that we talk about probably more than almost anything else in my practice.
Okay. That's because you do good work. So you hammer this one home.
Yeah, no. Yeah, it'll be good. It'll be a good discussion, a good reminder for some people, and a really actually important topic for everybody who's working recovery. So it'll be a good one. Before we do that, got a couple of things we want to mention. One is just reviews. We gotten a couple of new reviews. We always appreciate reviews, so we're gonna just read one of them here. This is just a shout out to Shay. Shay was on episode 292, and it says, Shay, episode 292, amazing. I hope Shay sees this because her episode was so powerful for me. I feel like I was feeling everything that she was. I cried right along with her. I can tell she's truly trying to learn all that she can through these difficult things, especially being torn between wanting to be close to God, yet not trusting him because of feeling like he didn't have your back. Thank you both for such an emotional yet hopeful episode. And thank you for the review.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love reviews that shout out to our callers because our callers are courageous and deserve some recognition for coming on and being vulnerable, and their vulnerability shares with everybody else and helps everybody else. So shout out to all of our callers. I just so appreciate you guys.
Amen.
Well, should we dive in, Tyler?
Yeah, just
before
we dive in, we just want to continue to kind of keep it fresh. We just kind of barely posted this a couple of weeks ago, but we do have the Radiant Dawn open again. It's going to be April 11th through the April 14th. And if you're interested, you can find a lot of information, testimonials, everything you need for this experience at radiantdawn.org.
RadiantDawn.org. Head over there. That's where you can sign up and get in. So do it before it sells out. If you're listening to this now and you're thinking I should do that, then do it because it will sell out and you'll miss your chance.
Yep. It's awesome.
Man, Tyler, you're a good promoter.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe therapy wasn't the thing you should have gone into.
We know that my calling in life is not promotion. I hate self-promotion. I hate selling things.
You're not a bad salesman, though.
It's not. But the thing about what we do and the way that I found is that I found a line of work that I feel like is my life calling. And because I believe in it so much, it's actually not really hard to like then, quote, sell things because I believe in everything that we're doing here.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's easy to push somebody to do something that's good for them because you believe that it's good for them.
So. I love that you love to watch me squirm, though.
you're actually much better at it than you might think. So, well, let's talk about what you talk about all the time.
Yeah. So we got a question. Actually, I'm going to read the question. We love you guys' questions. This is a written question that was submitted. If you're interested in asking a question, go to therapybros.com. And we'd prefer that you click the button that says come on the show. And then you can write your question and then actually schedule a time to come on the show. But this one just came through written. And so we got some time. We're happy to answer it. And I think it's applicable to a lot of people. So this comes from Stephanie. It says, thank you so much for taking the time to record these podcasts. They've been a huge asset to my own trauma recovery. I feel that every episode I listen to is gold. I'm so grateful to all those who call in as well. Their bravery and vulnerability is incredible. My question is about the concept of, quote, dailies that have been mentioned in a number of your episodes. I would love to learn more about what those are and how to implement them. They seem to promote resilience and inner emotional strength, which are areas of struggle for me that I would like to strengthen? So thank you, Stephanie.
Love the question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to start, Tyler?
Yeah. So before we get into this, one thing that I don't like about the topic of dailies, and people call them different things, we can call them dailies, is that they hear a conversation like the one we're about to have, and they strip it all down to just the logistical checklist that I have so many things that I should be engaged in order to be a good person, in order to heal, and they miss the heart of the whole reason for why the principle of dailies is put in place. So I was just want to clarify this, that the hope here today is to have a discussion about the principles behind the dailies as much as describing what dailies are.
These are called dailies. They're not called shoulds.
Right.
Right? Like every day we should on ourselves and then feel guilty that we don't do things.
Right, exactly.
That's not what these are. Yeah.
Yeah, so the concept of dailies is this, that we want to be living a life that's full of a number of principles that lead to a wholehearted, happy, fulfilling, joyful life. And one of the ways that we do that is we set into motion the establishment of the habit of pursuing an emotional experience with the best parts of yourself, cultivating your heart, basically. We need to be engaged in keeping the heart alive, keeping the flame burning, making sure that we're in touch with the things that are most important to us, making sure that we're in touch with the parts of ourselves, our identity that makes us who we are. And the tool that we use, that's maybe one of the most beneficial things we can use, is the concept of dailies.
Yeah, I think when you talk about, cultivating your heart and a lot of it, Tyler, is about balance, right? It's about setting your life up so that you have the healthiest life you possibly can, so that you can accomplish whatever it is that you're supposed to accomplish here. And there's energy suckers and there's energy givers, and we feel in our life the energy takers or suckers, they come into our life and they just kind of start to take over a little bit. And the things that give us energy, oftentimes we have to choose to put those into our life, or we have to develop habits over time that take some work to actually put those into our life. And so it takes a little bit of effort. It takes some commitment in order to get those things going in our life. Yet when they do get going and we have them and they're working for us, they are so life-giving. And when she talks about, I forget how she said it, but it sets you up for emotional resilience. It sets you up to handle life as it comes, the difficulties of it. It also, I mean, we could talk about the outcomes of it, Tyler. It helps with self-worth. It helps with energy levels. It helps with everything, right?
That's right. The overall quality of life. And I like where you're going, Brandon. Maybe I'd like to maybe break this up into a couple of smaller sections to what you're saying is, for me anyway, and the way that I experience my own kind of process with dailies is that on one aspect, what dailies is that it's the intentional pursuit of connection with your best self every day that turns into the habits of cultivating your heart, right? And when you do that, what you're doing is you're actually creating a reservoir or a tank of emotional energy that you then have to use throughout the day, every single day. And if you have a full tank, no matter what comes along in your day, you have the energy to be able to deal with that. So you're less likely to be thrown off by, getting in trouble with your boss or having your spouse criticize you or having one of your kids tell you that you're stupid or like, whatever that is, if you have that emotional reserve, then you think more clearly, you can engage in a grounded, wise-minded way. And so you actually do less damage to your own life because you have the emotional reserves to deal with life. That's like the first benefit to dailies. To me, the bigger benefit to dailies is that every time I engage intentionally in something that matters to me or that reinforces who I am, dailies become a living, breathing way of affirming the truth of who I am. So It's like a behavioral affirmation that I'm doing every time I engage in a daily. I'm worth taking care of. My life is worth engaging in these things so that I can cultivate the best parts of myself. And when I do that, I'm reinforcing the overall belief, which I think is the biggest thing missing in our world, is that we're accepting the truth of who we are, our divine roots and acceptance of our goodness. And that's what dailies do, is they reinforce that acceptance of our goodness.
Well, so what you're talking about, Tyler, sounds pretty massive. Sounds pretty big. You know, it's like this cultivating the acceptance of our goodness and knowing who we are, and it's massive and it's big. And if we were to rewind back and like pull it all back, it's so darn simple, and it's so basic and so small. When I say small, like, a daily could take 30 seconds. And so don't get overwhelmed by what Tyler's saying. And this is kind of the beauty of it, is these small and simple things over time do what Tyler's talking about, which is pretty awesome. It's more about the consistency and the commitment over time than it is about how overwhelming it is every day. Every day it should feel exhilarating. It should feel good, and fit within your life well. So, should we get into some specifics, Tyler? Kind of look at them?
Let's talk about some of the basics, that we use, as kind of a principle that we teach. We'll go through that. Now, as we go through this, be thinking as you're listening of your own life and how the principles might apply to you specifically, because everybody finds different kinds of dailies that seem to work better or that seem to kind of scratch that itch a little bit better than other things do. So, we teach something called the daily charge. And this is, again, not just a checklist that if you check it off, then you're a good person and then you're all good. But these are areas of life that we know are beneficial for most people in just having an overall high quality of health and good life. Okay. So it's an acronym that we use. The first one is C, the daily charge
You got
is
this memorized?
I've got it memorized, of
Are
course.
you cheating? Are you got you got it pulled up there? Are you cheating?
I do have it pulled up, but I have it memorized.
I got it memorized. I don't know about you, Tyler, but
You better have it memorized. We talk about it all day, every day. You're
All right, sorry to cut you off. Go ahead. The C.
good. So the C is for connection. And the idea of this is that cultivating important relationships enriches our life, and it cultures the support system that we need when things get hard for us. So that could be done in a lot of different ways. And you can think as you're listening of a lot of different ways for connection. It could be going to dinner with a friend. It could be game nights. It could be a simple act of a thank you note to somebody, or a nice text, or a nice voicemail. There's a lot of different ways, but actively engaging in building your team and connecting with others is what the C connection is all about.
Yeah, you know, Tyler, how many times have you sat down with a client or heard in group, you know, someone struggling emotionally, you know, they're depressed or whatever, and then you ask them about their support system and they're like, "Well, I don't really have anyone. I don't have any friends that I really talk to. I'm not close to my family." Like, and so they're isolated and alone, and what do you know, on an emotional, spiritual, like many levels, they're struggling in their life. And then what happens, Tyler, when we talk about connection and we're like, well, hey, let's make a habit to like reach out, call some people, create connection. What happens a lot of times?
I don't know what you're going for, but it's difficult for our clients to actually do that. And then it takes time to actually establish the habit of cultivating the relationship. So people go out and they try and they're like, oh, I got rejected, or it doesn't work, or it's proof that I'm still alone.
That's
And
yeah.
yeah,
That's
I don't know.
exactly what I'm going for, Tyler. Like, it's, you know, it's easy to say, okay, on my daily charge, I'm going to have connection. But when rubber meets the road and it's time to do that work, that's why like groups and things are so awesome, because it creates an opportunity to do that connection piece. And whether it's sending a text message or which is a little less vulnerable, or a phone call, or a Marco Polo, or a thank you card, or whatever, just checking in with your spouse and seeing where they're at. Connection can look like a lot of different things, but it's just getting outside of yourself, seeing that other people are there, loving them, connecting to them.
It's acting with intention there. It's actually kind of a cool process to watch, Brandon. I'm thinking of a couple of my groups right now, where just coming to group once a week is actually its own form of connection for a lot of people, because they just don't, not many people willingly choose to put themselves in a situation like going to group, right? But then I notice that the guys, excuse me, or the ladies that come to group that do the best, they use the group as the springboard for the principal, and then they end up getting into like an outside of group Marco Polo group with the people in their group, or then they start going to dinner after group once a week, or they end up doing a hike together, or they get together and do some other activity together, or go to a different training, and then that shared experience starts to grow, and eventually what they've got is they've got this connection that's more than just the reason they came to group. The group pulled them together. It gave them something common, but then they went and built new relationships off of that. And now the group itself is more rich and more vibrant because the relationships that they're developing come into the room.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's awesome.
And yeah, it's really cool when people do that. It seems to be one of the hardest things to get people to do, though. And it's weird because most of us are wired for attachment connection. Many, many people feel alone, isolated, lonely, and to do this work is really, really difficult, but it really pays dividends over the course of the long haul.
Yep. It's one of the most important parts of recovery is connection. So,
Yeah.
can I do the next one?
Yeah, if you
That
can remember
that
it.
I have off the top of my head
Yeah,
memorized right now.
yeah.
So the H is hobbies, which I love this one, and this one's unique for anyone. Like Tyler was saying, you get to know yourself better. So hobbies are about fun, they're about adventure, they're about creativity, and to take time. We get caught in just going to work, just taking care of the kids or whatever. Not that that's a bad thing, but how often do you stop and allow yourself to do the things that you truly love? So I make it a point to try to go skiing or mountain biking as much as I can, especially with my kids, but also with my friends as well. Golfing. And I could go down the list. There's things that I absolutely love to do that are really important to me, and actually are the best things for my mental health. Like they keep me alive in many ways.
Yeah, I love the hobbies one. Some of these other ones that we're going to talk about, they actually feel more like work, even though they produce a really good outcome. Hobbies are what I would call more of like a savor of life kind of daily, that they actually like, I can look forward to them and I really enjoy them even when I'm doing them, and they pay off really well emotionally for me too. The challenge to the hobbies one for a lot of people is, and I think a lot of people relate to this, is that when life starts to get busy and you get into the autopilot of going to work every day, or then having to take your kids to soccer or whatever else, one of the easiest places to drop is in the hobbies area. So people cut that part out. They think they're selfish if they're still doing it. They feel like they don't have the time for it. I can't tell you how many times people say, like, oh, I don't even know what my hobbies are anymore because I just never do them, or I don't have time for my hobbies. And and that's understandable. If you're living life the way that most other people in this world live their life, but most other people in this world aren't that happy, and so it's actually imperative that your life includes the hobbies because of that adventure part of it. It keeps you alive. It keeps things vibrant and bright. So,
But Tyler, isn't that selfish?
right, yeah, that's the question, right? And people will say, like, I can't afford to do that. I can't afford it. I don't have the time, whatever. It's like, you can't afford not to.
Yeah.
Because we want a life where the heart is pumping. We want a heart life where you're alive, where you're living towards something rather than just going through the motions.
Yep. Yep.
So.
Another thing to mention here, Tyler, that, we call these dailies or the daily charge. It doesn't mean that you do these things every single day. So sometimes your daily is a twice a week daily, where, hey, I'm going to get out and ride my bike twice a week. Now, some of these dailies are daily. They're every single day. And you just set that. You set, your system of what you want it to be, and you make sure that you do it when you set it. So I don't get out and golf every single day. but it's a hobby of mine, and it's important to me, right?
That's right. Yes. And that's why we don't want it to be this checklist of like, I did it all, I'm perfect today. It's more like, what do I need today? Like, if I'm checking in with these areas of my life, then I'm going to naturally go, you know what? I need to do a little bit of this. I need to plan ahead and set up a day with my best friend to go up to his place and do some fishing in a couple of weeks, or things like that. So that's a good thought, Brandon. The next one, A of the daily charge. We call it attunement. And it's another word for the principles of mindfulness. We know there's tons of research now. We know the benefits, both, in our practice and also personally, how powerful and how beneficial the practice of mindfulness is. And so the attunement is taking the time to actually become an observer of you, yourself, your life, the practice of mindfulness and the principles of mindfulness, in order to practice knowing how to reground yourself and also how to let go of things so that you can live life on its terms.
Yep. Love it. I think mindfulness can scare people off a little. They're like, whoa, do I have to put my yoga pants on and get as zen as I possibly can get? And the fact of the matter is this one, it might be the simplest and easiest one to accomplish every day. It's breathing for th 30 seconds. Just breathe. I did my attunement this morning, Tyler. I have a playlist that I listen to for attunement. So there's like four songs that I listen to. So I listen to those songs and I try to be mindful and just listen to that music this morning. It was awesome. Felt really good. Got me
Good.
ready to podcast with you today. So it is so good for you and so easy to accomplish. So don't overthink the attunement piece.
Yeah, there's always the formal kinds of mindfulness practice, things like you said, Brandon, like yoga or certain kinds of breath work or
Guided imagery or
guided imagery, that kind of stuff. But as you learn the principles, anything can become a mindfulness practice with the right principles. And what that means is I become aware of what I'm aware of, and I let go of judgment and just let it be what it is. And so eating your next meal could be a mindfulness practice. Smelling a flower, you're noticing the clouds in the sky and noticing that you're noticing is also just the practice of attunement and mindfulness.
Okay, should we go on to the next one?
Yep.
The net this one I believe is one of the most important, yet one of the most dismissed and thrown to the side ones that there is. And this one is about rest. Sleep is so good for you and so important. Going to bed at a certain time, getting your hours of sleep, having sleep be a priority is really important. And there's other ways to rest too, not just sleep, right? Just taking a break. But we neglect sleep a lot because we think, well, we're so busy, I can get 4 or 5 hours a night and I can function. So your daily would be something like get, 7 to 9 hours of sleep every day. Or take a nap every day, right?
Right. Get the adequate amount of rest that your body needs. Now, there's a couple of things that go along with this. Some of the research that we know that the right amounts of rest, especially, if you need to get 7 to 9 hours a night, when you cheat on that, you lose the benefit that comes from the multiple cycles of the sleep cycles. And what happens in the sleep cycles is it's almost like its own sort of a filter for the emotional components that went on throughout your day in your brain. And so if you're cheating that, then you're having a hard time letting that emotional processing take place. A couple other things that are important with sleep is that there's some recent research out that's got a really, really strong correlation to relapse with addiction. That when you're tired and when you're sleep deprived, your likelihood of also relapsing with your addiction is significantly, extremely significantly higher. So sometimes people feel like, man, all I'm doing is wasting my time if I'm resting, when in reality, it's extremely important. And that's also now being researched in other areas of life, like what are the effects on Alzheimer's and dementia and memory and a lot of other things. And so if there's one in my life that's been the biggest weakness of this daily charge we're talking about, it's this one, Brandon.
You don't have to tell me. I've seen your face when you're just sleep deprived.
It's so funny too, because we can kind of slow cook ourselves into not getting the right amount of sleep. So I was getting, for probably for 10, 15 years of my life,
Don't follow Tyler's example as he says this. Go ahead.
I was getting maybe an average of, 4 to 5 hours a night. And then I would go to like, I remember one time going to my job at the where the drug courts were in Idaho, and I was getting like this work review with my boss, and my boss sat down and he went through all the feedback that they had for me, and he's like, you know what, we hear a lot of great things about what you're doing. The people love working with you. The people love the tools you give them. They love your personality. He said, but there's something that comes out all the time with almost every re review we get on you, and he said, everyone says you're tired. And I said, well, that's actually true. Now, I had slow cooked myself into like feeling like I was just operating my normal self, and that was my new normal. And then I had this period where I actually had to have a surgery, and I was able to get back to 8 hours of sleep. And after about 2 months of 8 hours of sleep, I was dumbfounded at the difference that I had in my cognitive abilities, my ability to remember things, my ability to engage with people, my energy levels. I had just slowly given all of that up for the sake of not sleeping and didn't even know what I had given up. Right.
When we look at this daily, Tyler, maybe you got to look at your habits. How habitual is your sleeping? And then make some hard changes in order to get it back on track. Another thing I want to mention here is a lot of times naps are judged. As adults, we're not supposed to at 2 in the afternoon take a nap, right? We're supposed to sit at our computer and browse on the internet and think that we're being productive while we're in a sugar coma after lunch.
Right.
No, what I mean is like we're it's okay. It's a you know it the, a power nap. Listen to the like what that is, a power nap. Take 15 minutes, take some rest and then get back on it at work. That's okay. So give yourself permission to rest, and set up good habits. There's a book by Sean Stevenson called Sleep Smarter. It's probably the best book that talks about all the little habits that you can do to rest better.
Yeah, excellent. All right, moving on, Brandon, we're moving to G. G stands for God, the wrestle that we get to engage in with our higher power on a regular basis. And seeking connection with our higher power, just the seeking part of it, actually helps us to kind of cultivate the kind of life that we want. The ability to recognize that we're not the center of the universe, that we can pursue something greater and bigger than ourselves. And then when we actually have that connection with God, it's also a source of where we begin to find, the truth about who our identity, what our real identity is again.
I think, Tyler, this one's a tricky one. If there's a lot of feelings toward God that get in the way of wanting to connect to God and feeling like doing all of the same things that I've always done gets me the same results where I feel like crap. I feel about who I am, and So this is not about that. It's not about forcing yourself to read your scriptures and pray if that's, what you've always done and you haven't felt connection there. Not to say that reading your scriptures and praying is a bad thing, but this is about stopping, opening up to connecting to God, however it's going to work for you. It's about being open to a God that loves you, not open to a God that's going to shame you, tell you what a piece of crap you are for the day, and send you on along your way. So your daily when it comes to God might be different than what you think you should be doing. It might be sitting out in nature for 10 minutes every day. You know what, Tyler, for me, with a God, believe it or not, one of my God dailies is Wim Hof.
Yeah.
Now you think about that, it's like that's physical. That's no, that like forces me to talk about attunement, but it forces me to connect to everything inside of me, my physicality, nature. Just it gets me thinking about everything. So that's an example of one God daily that I have is Wim Hofing. So just don't, if you're thinking, if you're hearing this and you're like, well, I don't want to connect to God. Well, okay. Then it sounds like you need to do some dailies on figuring out how to actually connect to God. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's well, yeah, and that idea of I don't want to connect to God, a lot of people who we deal with on a daily basis feel the same way, right? And what we see is that those, even if they have a hard time with wherever they're at with the relationship with God, those who willingly submit themselves to the wrestle with a higher power, they just seem to do better. It's that they're cultivating that willingness, which is a softer heart, which allows them to be able to receive new things, new ideas. You know, that willingness becomes really important. It doesn't matter if you want to or not. It's the willingness to engage in the wrestle itself. And to what you were saying, Brandon, in my work, this one's a really tricky one because so many people that we work with have been conditioned to take those daily things that you do, like the reading your scriptures or the prayer, and they've been conditioned to believe that if they don't do it, they're failing and they're not good, rather than why do you do those things in the first place? You do those things because you believe that as you read your scriptures or as you pray, that you're having a chance to communicate with God in some way, or you're receiving some communication from God. And so you're choosing to engage in that for the sake of cultivating the relationship, not because you're a bad person if you don't.
I quick story here. I had a client, you've probably heard this before. He had a daily that I have to read three chapters a day out of the scriptures. And he's like, I hated it. It was like, I'd either not do it and feel bad about myself, or I'd do it, not get anything out of the reading because I was just trying to get to the end of that third chapter. It wasn't serving me at all. And so he said, so I switched my daily. And my daily is, I open my scriptures every day, and I keep them open until I feel like God said, I love you. And he's like, sometimes I'll open them and I'll read one word and I'll get that feeling. And it's like, hey, awesome daily today. Sometimes I'll read three chapters, but his daily is, I want to open the scripture and feel God's love.
I'm
That's what I want
pursuing,
to,
that's what I'm
yeah.
pursuing. Yeah. And I know, like, for me personally, and this is something I recommend to people who kind of find themselves in the spot we're talking about, I encourage people to actually expand, like almost create a list of all of the ways that they have actually felt connection with their higher power in some way. Like you said, Wim Hof, nature, could be scriptures, prayer, music for me is a really, really big one. Nature is a big one. I know this one sounds weird, and this is, we're going to get to this in a second, but exercise sometimes opens me up in ways that I feel like God can enter my heart and speak to me. I don't know why. It's something about the physical body breaking allows that to happen for me sometimes. But now as I'm getting into my dailies, I don't have to be like, okay, I have to do these things today. It's like, what's going to be my best way to connect with God today? And I'm now going to choose something from that list and engage in it towards that relationship rather than being compelled to it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Love it. Well, should we hit the last one?
Last one.
You just said it. But exercise, pretty important, right?
Exercise is this one that's like everybody knows you're gonna hear this word during a discussion on dailies, and everybody blows it off because they've heard it so many times. And it in my opinion, for my personal life, it might be the most important one on the list.
Yeah, I mean, it's just how many research studies need to come out saying, exercise is as good as Prozac. Like if you're depressed, sad, whatever, like your mental health depends on activity and movement. And so, yes, we hear it all the time. And a lot of times I think we get overwhelmed. We feel like, well, I don't know if I can go lift a bunch of weights or run a bunch of miles. Like, just go for a little walk. Just move your body just a little bit. Go for a bike ride with your spouse or whatever. Like just move your body a little bit. So yeah, Tyler, it's good for you in all the ways.
Exactly. I mean, everyone talks about exercise in the terms of losing weight, and to me, that's almost secondary to everything else that it can do for us. It obviously helps the physical body to be healthier, and the physical body is tied to the emotional sense of self and to our brain. Exercise is almost like taking your brain through the car wash. It's
Yeah.
like you get to just clean everything off. It has this chemical dump that sort of like flushes everything and then emits a whole bunch of chemicals that actually make us feel better. They increase our willpower. It's hard to get there because the effort needs to be there. But when you go over the edge of that effort, all of a sudden you get a really nice payoff with the
Yeah.
exercise.
Yep. Yep. Well, so Tyler, as people are listening to this, I hope they're not feeling like, oh, I'm failing and I'm not doing any of this stuff. Coming back to where we started, if you're listening to this and you're not doing much of this, this is hopefully a call to action to help you sit down and say, okay, I want to create this in my life. Your self-care needs to be a priority over pretty much anything because you'll be a better father, husband, wife, mother, worker, everything, if you take care of you. And you will be resilient to the difficulties of life. Addictions won't have to come in and soothe you and take care of you because you're taking care of you.
That's
Right.
right. It just a thought that is kind of foreign for some of us, but in our lives with being affected with all the things that we have on our plates, we've neglect the thing that is most important to remember that you are your greatest asset in everything that you're trying to get done today. And if you're taking care of yourself, you are more effective in everything else around you, including your relationships with other people, including your productivity at work. I know people laugh at me all the time when I say this, but I can get a lot more done with 2 hours of dailies and an 8 hour work day than I can in a 12 hour work day.
Yeah.
And
Yep.
it's just the truth,
Yep.
because it's just so much more effective. So, hopefully this is helpful. The list that we gave is non-exhaustive. I mean, you can be creative with your own. Think about what are the things that get you going? What gives you passion? What drives your heart? What fuels you? What's good for you? Make your own lists and then don't worry so much about the list as much as the intention. Look at your list on a regular basis, feel what you need for the day, and then go pursue that connection with your heart.
Thanks, Tyler.